Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on having a peer relationship with a contractor. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers your questions of, do I treat my peer differently if he's a contractor? What's the difference between me and a contractor peer of mine? And can I be friends with them? The best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have, and more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have. It's more and more true nowadays that companies are being careful about hiring. We're recording this in 2016. They're doing this for nearly 10 years. And so there are more and more contractors, which are a different legal entity, but still useful in terms of doing work and so on. But a lot of people ask us about, what kind of relationship do you have with them? It's one thing to be a peer if you're an employee, if you're fellow employees, but how does that change if somebody's a contractor? And there's some things we probably ought to be careful of. So what guidance do we have for everybody?
In three parts. The first part is, don't worry about employment law, which might surprise some people.
But what's funny about that is I would argue that most people don't know what employment law is, so they're not smart enough to worry about it. But I think it's a good point. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Build a relationship as if there wasn't going to be that in a cast about relationships, and don't give them leverage over the company.
Yeah, there's some things you have to be careful of there, certainly. Mm-hmm. Okay. As I said, a lot of people don't know anything about employment law, but we tell them not to worry about it if they did.
Yeah. So the big worry, or the big thing that people hear about employment law and contractors, is that you have to treat them differently. You can't do certain things with them because then they can say that they're employees.
Right.
And then they can claim back pay and benefits and all sorts of things.
And that's important from an understanding of the underlying principle, folks, in that if they're treated like an employee, but they're actually a contractor, the law would say, this is true in many first world countries, that the company is attempting to skirt employment law by hiring a contractor where the standards are different, but treating them as an employee. And if you treat someone as an employee, by law, they ought to be an employee. And so it appears when the behavior towards someone as a contractor is employee-like, it appears the company is attempting to benefit financially while not following the law.
Mm-hmm. And many people hear that as a kind of blanket thing.
They do.
And
yeah.
they misunderstand it, or it's miscommunicated to them, and they apply it very literally.
Very broadly. Broadly,
or, you know, in the wrong places. And so what happens sometimes is when there are contractors on a team and you're their peer, the manager can say to you, oh, you have to be really careful about the conversations you have. You can't have any conversations about the future.
Yeah, you can't do this. Yeah,
or career plans or whatever. And it's really not true.
It puts the employee who's a peer of the contractor in a box. The manager isn't wrong in what he or she is saying, but it's grossly misleading to you as a peer. I'll give you an example, folks. In law, a manager can have one-on-ones with a contractor employee. In fact, we have a podcast about that. You can give them feedback. Totally legal. You cannot coach them. The law doesn't say you can't coach them. The law says you can't specifically dictate how they do their job, which is one of the fundamental differences between employer and contractor. So a manager might say to you, if Wendy's my boss, she might say, Mark, be careful about that contractor. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Those things may, in fact, be true for her after a fashion relative to the law and her relationship with my peer contractor. But she, as my boss or as the manager of the contractor, is the company for legal purposes. That's part of the definition of role power. So the rules that apply to your boss's relationship with your peer contractor are a function of the legality of the relationship between the company and the individual. You, on the other hand, do not carry the weight of the company on your back relative to legal definitions. And so largely, your relationship with a contractor is virtually identical in all ways to your relationship with a fellow employee. I'm sure I just stole some of your thunder.
No. But that is it. Essentially, that is the point, right? HR and legal worry about the relationship between managers and their contractors. But as a PR, you pretty much can't get yourself into trouble or the contractor because of the equalness of your relationship.
Yep. Or put differently, not so much the equalness of the relationship as the legal status that is inherent in the role power differential between your boss and one of their directs who's a contractor. Because you could actually have a situation where you would be talking to a contractor, and if you're two levels above, you might think, well, I can be friends with them because I'm not their boss. But it has to do with whether or not you're speaking to them as part of the company or not. But your point on all this, and I'm probably making it worse, is you don't have to worry about that if you're peers.
Exactly. And a lot of companies, especially companies that have been burned, are very legalistic. They really emphasize this point. And I think that often it can become overblown and it can cause a worry for everybody when actually, as a peer, you probably don't need to worry. There's better things to be worrying about, and HR and legal can take care of that stuff. And you know, 99% of the time, you're not doing any harm.
Yeah, a good example. Companies can't pay for contractor training. That's perceived as a line you can't cross. And all this is fairly settled law over the years in various legal cases and so on. You might, as an employee, expect the company to pay for your training, reasonable, because that's part of your development. But that's a line the company can't cross. You talking to a contractor about your training or asking them about what training they get is not a problem. You can talk to them about it. You can recommend they go to the training. You can't recommend, well, you could even recommend they go ask your boss, but your boss would have to say, no, I can't pay for that. There are rules.
Yeah, exactly. And some people think, oh, they can't have training, and therefore we can't have someone sit next to them for a morning and show them how to use the system.
Yeah.
Right? That's not training in this sense. It's just, you know, it's showing them a system they need to do their work. That's not training. But so again, some people, they hear the message and they want to be absolutely safe. So they step way away from the line, and you don't need to be.
Yeah. Again, because as a peer, your working relationship with someone, as opposed to your formal legalistic employer and subordinate relationship with someone, your working relationship doesn't affect the company's standing with that contractor. Okay. Essentially, your next point follows logically, particularly in the manager tools, career tools world of things, which is we know that relationships are important. So if it doesn't matter, largely doesn't matter, and HR and my boss are going to worry about it, you're going to tell me to build a relationship.
Absolutely. As if we wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
And the great thing about contractors is they often have really good networks and they have contacts everywhere. A good contractor is really well connected to the market. And so, you know, apart from the fact that work will go easier and it will be more pleasant, and I'm sure there's some things that you can do for them in ways of a favor, you get a lot out of it because you get access to their network. So if you want to be Machiavellian and have a reason for building a relationship, that's it. You know. And they also have useful information about how technology is being used or skills are being used.
Absolutely.
Because they see so many other companies.
Contractors learn more sooner about the different ways of doing things in their careers because they're exposed to different work environments. When somebody's at company A, they say, well, this is how it's done. A lot of young people, I know this was true for me, this is how it's done is said about your experience. And if you were new to that process and you learned it for the first time and the process appears complete, but frankly, you don't have context to understand the subtleties of it, you're saying to yourself, well, this is how it's done. That then translates in your own head, whether you like to admit it or not, is this is how everybody does it. Well, of course, the contractor, who may be the same age as you and only have a few years of experience just like you, knows that that's not how everybody does it. And their ability to transport ideas across organizations. I'm not talking about intellectual property theft or work product secrets and so on, folks. That kind of ability is really, really great. I would argue there's an even simpler thing regarding building a relationship. If the output that you deliver for the organization is delivered to a manager who represents the company to you, if you produce output that is related to a contractor's output, and that contractor's output also impacts or essentially is bundled, aggregated into your boss's output and the perception of your boss to the company, which would then, that would then mean that what I just said for virtually anyone is true, by definition, you have to work on developing a relationship with that contractor, regardless of the legal issues, which don't exist, as we've already said, because a better relationship with you increases the speed at which you work because of my favorite book title, The Speed of Trust. The more you're trusted and the more you trust them, the more likely you are to get more done, which means you can get more done, your boss looks better, and that's better for you, for the boss, and for the contractor. Now, there are some percentage of the people in the world, I don't know if it's 10, I don't know if it's 40, that seem to think that everything is a zero-sum game, and if you win, somebody else loses, and if somebody else wins, they lose, and so those people are going to withhold that relationship. Believe me, as a contractor, having done this before, because as a consultant, that's essentially what you are, it is absolutely detrimental to the contractor's work, and therefore indirectly to your work, to play the political game of withholding a relationship because that person won't be able to get as much done. That will then affect you and will affect your boss. And the fact is, the world is not a zero-sum game. The entire history of the world is, it is not a zero-sum game. Even wars do not imply a zero-sum game. You win, I lose. There's all kinds of things that it's literally one of the dumbest ideas in the world, unless you're playing a game of checkers and you win and I lose.
And that's the whole point of organizations, right?
Yes.
Because if you put five people together and the output is greater than the sum of the parts, right? If what five people could do separately, if you put them together in a team and each person does a fifth of the work, you get more work. The work increases.
Yep. So good. We want them to build a relationship. We want you to spend time with them. If your work is related to theirs in such a way that it has to be merged with theirs for the boss to be able to show value, then we encourage you to reach out for peer one-on-ones. When a new contractor comes in, ask yourself what you would do if they were an employee sitting there in terms of the relationship and the lunches you go to and the information you share and so on. But there are some things we have to be a little bit careful on, and we're trying to take it from the other perspective, folks, which is here are the few things you should worry about rather than your boss telling you, you have to worry about everything, and I'll make sure that if I tell you to worry about everything, I won't have any problem. The problem when your boss does that is that eliminates your ability to create a great relationship. It essentially is detrimental to everything. We prefer to see it as everything's great except these couple of things. Okay. We're not going to be a controlling boss to you. So what are the limits?
So the limit is that you have to see yourself as the defender of the company. As an employee, you're part of the company, you're part of the organization, and part of your responsibility is to defend the company against the threats. And if you've got contractors working inside the company, inside the team, they're, I'm sure, lovely people. We want you to build a relationship with them. And there's a risk always of having people in the company. In fact, there's a risk of having employees. I once worked with someone who on their last day threw a strop and deleted a database, which the company was not chuffed by. And so I'm sure the people you're working with are not like that, but you do have to be aware that you are part of the line that protects the company. And so being friends with someone is probably too much because it inhibits your ability to be that defender. And we've got a bunch of examples just to help explain that.
Okay.
So let's start with, you have a contractor who is your friend and you know that they have a baby on the way. And they've also been offered a long-term contract at another company. And the long-term contracts mean stability, and people who have babies usually want some stability. But he's almost decided not to take it and to stay with your company because he likes it better there. When you find out that the project you're working on is losing funding and all the contractors are going to be let go in a month. Now, it would be beneficial for you to tell that contractor, your friend.
It wouldn't just be beneficial. It would be part of the essential code of being friends, you know, as opposed to being friendly with a behavior, accepting the mantle of the role of friend implies the willingness to share confidential information. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the answer is you don't tell them.
You don't tell them because you're defending the company. You can't have people knowing that a project is about to end and everyone's going to be let go.
And so when the person comes to you afterwards and it becomes clear to them in some fashion, either through a leak or some non-formal way that you knew, and they come to you and say, you had to know this. How could you not have told me this? If you really respect the other person, now, a lot of people just say, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't really know what to do and so on. I got to tell you, that's a very unappealing answer. On the other hand, saying, look, I assume part of the reason we're friends is because we're ethical. I have an obligation to be ethical. And part of my role is I agreed not to divulge that kind of stuff. You know, I was clearly in an awkward situation. I would have loved in a different situation to have shared that with you, but I can't share it with you without damaging my relationship with the company. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, you can use variations on that. Okay. But if you're not willing to say that because you know the response of the person will likely be fine, I can see who your friends are. Fine. I can see where your loyalties lie. It is the equivalent of someone propositioning you when you were married, mm-hmm. and you say, no, thank you. And when they say, well, gosh, just because you're married, like, where do your loyalties lie? Well, that ought to be pretty obvious. And the fact that you have a question about where my loyalties lie proves to me that our friendship was largely based on your self-interest and not on your respect for my own interests, mm-hmm. right? The ultimate friendship is one where I respect your interest and consider them. It's not just that I want to be your friend because I get something from you. I want to be your friend because I can give something to you. In order for me to give something to you, I have to respect what your self-interests are, because if I give you something that's in conflict with your self-interest, I clearly don't know you very well. And of course, as a consultant, this has happened to me all the time. I'm aware of all kinds of things in organizations, and people come to me afterwards, how could you not tell me? I've worked hard to have a good relationship with you. And I said, yes, we have a good relationship. And there are some things that I'm not at liberty to share. And in order for me to hold my head up as an ethical person, I can't share them because A, it would imply that our friendship is more important than my professional relationship, which caused the friendship to occur in the first place. It was primary. The friendship was secondary in time. But in addition, if I do that, if I'm unethical in keeping my bond and my word with other relationships, you have to assume I'll do the same thing to you. You can be a good person and do the right thing. And as the cadet prayer would say from the academy, make us to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. Okay, another example.
Another example. So your contractor friend has applied for a permanent role in the company, and you know he only wants to go permanent to get the health benefits for the forthcoming baby. Once the baby is born, he'll probably go back to contracting because it's more lucrative in the short term. So do you tell the company that it's being used, that this person is only joining the company in order to get the benefits and will probably leave as soon as they've got what they wanted, essentially?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, ethically you would have to, but if you're friends, again, you might be having one of those tough conversations about, why the hell did you tell the company you knew what I needed? We can't afford this baby, and you just broke our friendship.
Yeah. Okay, what about your contractor friend has a way to save thousands of man hours on the project he or she is on, but hasn't told the company because it'll mean the contract will end early. Do you share that? And of course, the answer to that one is yes as well, right?
Yeah. Even if you put yourself in that position and have an imaginary friend, you can feel the little tug of friendship versus ethics versus the company.
There's nothing wrong with that. Feeling the tug is actually makes you human.
Exactly. If you can do that in your imagination for someone that doesn't exist, imagine how much harder that would be if you're friends with somebody on your team and you've been working together for 6 months and, you know, you've done all those things that friends do over and above what colleagues do. It just makes it an incredibly difficult decision to go through with.
Exactly. So it's okay to be friendly. It's okay to create a relationship that's designed to improve professional output and also your sense of trust and compatriotism, if you will, with your colleague, collegiality, and you still have a role as a defender of the company because that came first. Good. Thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Contractors matter. They're more and more frequent in our world today. It pays to know how to build effective relationships with people who matter to your organization. See you next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.